raining really hard when I woke up. Thankful the rain held off for church. 1 John chapter number 2 this morning. Back in 1 John chapter number 2. Last week we were here and we talked about who God was to us as our Father. He was our protector, our provider, and He gave us some precaution. Well, today I want to go into the second part of that, verse number 1, and we'll spend some time here, some weeks here in this verse, in this chapter. I think it'll be good for us. The Bible says, "My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, Lord. Thank you for the men and women, boys and girls that are here this morning, Lord, to worship you. Lord, I pray they're here because they want to be. Lord, no doubt some have to be, but I thank you for those too. Lord, I ask you now to just come down and meet with us in this Sunday school hour, Lord, as we talk about this advocate, your son, Jesus, and we thank you for him. Lord, I want you to help us, Lord, this morning learn about who this advocate really is and what he really is capable of and what he does for us, even when we don't realize it. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Allow me to teach and preach, Lord, with clarity. Lord, open the minds and hearts of your people, Lord. Let them hear a word from you this morning, not from me. Lord, just meet with us. Bind the devil off this place, Lord, and we'll be thankful for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. My little children, isn't it good to know that we have a Heavenly Father, first of all? We learned that last week. We learned some things he does for us. The Bible says, "These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate." I love how he said, "I'm writing this unto you, that ye sin not. But if you do sin," which, by the way, raise your hand if you're a sinner. That's every single one of us. If you think you're not a sinner, well, then you got another thought coming. He said, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate." See, if we weren't going to be sinners, Jesus would not have had to come and become that advocate for us. But today I want to look at who this advocate is and what are some characteristics or some traits of this advocate. An advocate is one who is called to help another. How many would agree that Jesus was called by the Father to help us in a mess that we could not get ourselves out of? He's one who pleads the cause of another. I can't help but think about the words as Jesus was dying, as he was being beaten and stabbed and spit on, hanging before the foundations of the world. I can only imagine how much strength it must have took for him to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, oftentimes we ask the question, how is it that God could possibly forgive me? Well, that prayer was for you all those years ago when he was hanging before the foundations of the world. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But it's one who pleads the cause of a lawyer or of another. As a lawyer may do in court. How many has ever been in court before or watched court on TV? You see those defense lawyers pleading the cause of those people that are guilty. No doubt, sometimes you watch those. I love watching court cases on TV. Judge Judy was a favorite of mine growing up because I had a great grandma that watched it religiously. She watched it every single day. How many ever watched Judge Judy before? Okay, good. I'm not the only crazy person in here. Praise the Lord. But, you know, sometimes you're sitting there and you hear them lawyers. You just know, even watching on TV, when you hear the case, you're like, oh, they're what? They're guilty. There's no case here. It's like sending a murderer to a trial who's confessed to the murder. But still somebody is silly enough to defend that person. What can I say? I'm thankful Jesus, he's not silly, but I'm sure thankful, although I'm guilty, that he's still an advocate to the Father for me, to the judge, to the Father. When Jesus comes in and says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa. Instead of casting your wrath, just remember, I died for them. They're one of us." And every single time we sin, I'm sure, you know, God hates sin, but here's the cool part about when we sin. He looks down and he sees that advocate. He sees that covering. He sees that blood of Jesus. And instead of seeing our sin, which he hates, he says, "Wait, you identify as one of mine. You're covered by the blood." Thank God for an advocate this morning. Well, let's look at some characteristics of this advocate. I wrote down a few things. We're probably only going to get into one of them today, but can I say our advocate is a very passionate advocate? Jesus is a very passionate advocate. It means showing strong feelings towards another. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'd like to think that when Jesus died on the cross, he must have had some great feeling toward you and me. You know, the Bible says even that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He has great feelings, and I don't even know how to compare how Jesus feels us. The only thing I could really think about is the people that are closest to me, my wife and my children. I feel an awful lot of feelings towards my wife and an awful lot of feelings towards my children, and I can't think of much that would not make me have those feelings for them. As a matter of fact, I can't think of anything that would stop the feelings I have to my wife or that would stop the feelings that I have to want to advocate for my children. You know, even when our kids do wrong, it's natural sometimes to be like, well, not my child, right? But can I say that's not right? Okay, well, here's the deal. Luckily, we're not like Jesus. You know, he's passionate. He's so passionate, number one. Let's go through three things. He's so passionate, he chose to die for us despite our sin. Go over to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. He's so passionate, he chose to die for us despite our sin. Let's start in verse number 6. Romans 5, verse number 6. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ, what did he do? Died for the ungodly. Now raise your hand if you were part of the ungodly. Amen. That's every single one of us. Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare die. But look at this. But God commendeth his love toward who, church? Us. Raise your hand if you're part of the us. I love it when people understand that you are part of the people, of the creation, of the us that Christ died for. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his what, church? Blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, how hard do you think it was for Jesus to want to die? Do you think he really wanted to in his flesh? I think we can prove in the Bible that that's not true. He did not want to, in his flesh, go through what he was about to go through. He went to the garden and prayed, you know, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let thy will be done. But God commendeth his love toward us. I wonder, have you ever had anyone else demonstrate love to you like that? The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And not only did Jesus die for us, he looked ahead and all that pain and all that agony. And just keep in mind, Jesus was still God in the flesh. Everybody understands that, right? He could have at any time put a stop to all that stuff. He did not have to do what he did. He chose to do what he did. And at any moment's notice, he could have said enough. My flesh can't take this anymore. I'm not dealing with this pain anymore. But not only dealing with the pain of the physical pain, but he had to deal with knowing while he was going through that, he was dying for people that were going to fail him. He was dying for people like Brother Drew. He was dying for people like you guys sitting in the pews this morning listening to just a vile, wretched sinner of a preacher who's trying to do what's right for the Lord. He knew that every single one of us, every single day, were going to fail him. He knew we were going to fail as husbands. He knew we were going to fail as wives. He knew we were going to fail as daddies. He knew we were going to fail as moms, fail as grandmas, fail as grandpas. And I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings, but the truth is, listen, there's none righteous. No, not one. Only Jesus Christ is righteous. He's holy. He's pure. He's true. Listen, we should strive to be like him, but he died knowing we were not going to be. He knew that. God commendeth. He chose to give us that love. He chose to die while knowing. It's like this. I could just picture him seeing my picture when I was 15 years old when he was dying on the cross. I'm thinking back to some of my worst years. And I could picture him seeing, well, I'm going to die for that boy. But what he's going to do in 2,000-something years, he don't deserve that. But I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's the will of my Father that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the only way that's going to happen is if I die. And he submitted to the will of the Father. I'd like to say that's a pretty passionate advocate. How about you, church? Number two, He's so passionate, he's not only offered us life, but he's offered us life more abundantly. And I love this part. Go to John chapter number 10. I love this right here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter number 10. We could spend weeks and weeks in this next few minutes. John chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Who's the thief, church? That's the devil. "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it," what, church? "More abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep." Because he gave his life, I can now have life more abundantly. And can I just tell you, waking up and living every day is not abundant life. I hope everybody understands that. You know, if you're, I mean, no doubt, don't get me wrong, I'm happy that I woke up this morning and was able to breathe the air that God granted me to breathe today. But look, if all I'm doing is waking up and living and going back to bed at night, that's not living a life abundant. God has so much more for us as his children in store. He has so much more that you are capable of having. Let's go to the book of Galatians. I want to show you what I think. Galatians chapter 5. I want to show you just some of the things, how I think we can have and experience this abundant life. How can I have this, and what does it mean? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here's what it says. Actually, let's back up to verse 19. Let's look at the don't do's first. We're not going to spend much time there, but look at verse 19. "Now the works of the" what, church? "Flesh." Now here's how you don't live an abundant life. You live in these works of the flesh. Here they are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I can tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now understand, that does not, the Bible did not say you're not going to go to heaven when you die if you're living in that. Please understand, the kingdom of God and heaven are two different things. There are things you can lay up for yourselves, treasures in that kingdom, okay? Inheriting the kingdom, I believe, is the treasures that God has in store for those of us who obey, those crowns that God said we could win. But look, that doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. So don't believe somebody that tells you that. If you're involved in this, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. If you're saved, no, you're not. There's one greater than you that saved you, and he's able to keep you. He died unto sin once, and that's all it required for forgiveness was one time. So how can I have this? Well, let's look at verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," here it is, church, "the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." So how can I experience abundant life? Well, learn to live with some joy in your life. Learn to live with some love in your life. Learn to live with some peace in your life. I don't want you to raise your hands, but I wonder how many of you actually have that perfect peace which passeth all understanding every time you lay your head down to sleep. I wonder how many, when you wake up in the morning, you have joy unspeakable. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I wonder how many of you have strove every single day to please your Father. I wonder how many of you have love in your heart. And I'm not talking about towards the people that are easy to love. I'm talking about towards people that ain't so easy to love. You know, Christ died for those people. There wasn't a single one of us easy to love. I can promise you that right now. If he just died for my sin, he died for too much. But man, if we were to paint all of what we just did this week on this wall and the church saw it, man, Christ died for all that. That's a lot of love. I wonder if we have that kind of love towards our lost community. I wonder if we have that kind of love towards lost children in our community. You know, we got a lot of people that work in the school system around here. Listen, you're a light in that school system. You're a light in the Logan Woods, brother. I'm a light when I go to Red Bluff Sand and Gravel for one more week. I have to let people see Jesus in me. You ever heard it said like this? You may be the only Bible that someone ever gets to read. You're a light in that welding classroom. Hey, listen, we're lights everywhere we go. We must have the love of the Father bestowing upon us. What about this one? I wonder how many of us could honestly say, I have been long-suffering this whole week towards everybody. I haven't gotten impatient one time. Anybody in here like that? I ain't raising my hand because I struggle with that one. But be careful to pray for patience, okay? I'm just telling you, be honest. Be careful when you pray for that. But long-suffering, how about this? Gentle. I'm talking about in the next hour, we'll hear some things about how our Savior is able to have compassion in so many different styles and areas of life. But what about gentleness? You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about when your kids get under your skin so much and they've called your name 15 times in the car. This, I'm telling you, my weakness. Here's my weakness as a dad. Here it is. Kids fighting in the car when I'm driving. Can't take it. It just, pray for me when that happens, okay? Just, if I'm ever going on a trip and my family's with me, just pray ahead of time. Pray for those kids that they'll just be, I just assume tell them be quiet in the car. They're like, how do you expect us to be quiet? We travel all the time. I don't know. I don't care how you do it. Just do it, okay? Anybody else have that? Like, it just irritates you when you hear bickering and fighting in the back seat, and it's just like, and you're just getting ready. I'm not being so gentle anymore. But goodness. Faith. How about that one? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Church, listen, if we're not living by faith, what are we living by? We're trusting in ourselves. That's a big problem. What about meekness? Just how highly do you look at yourself? Church, that's a big one in all of our lives, if we'd be honest. It's real hard to look and say, you're nothing. But with Christ, all things are possible. Man, if we would reflect that kind of mentality, I believe that would help with our abundant life. And this one, temperance. It is good not to lose your temper. It's very good. You know, how many times did you see, one time we saw Jesus really get upset, but he wasn't sinning, understand. He said, you've made my house a den of thieves. And he came in and he messed up the place. But it wasn't because he was angered that they had, you know, abused his father's house. He was angered that they were doing something they were not supposed to do. But look, how many times did you read your Bible and you see, well, man, if I was Jesus in this situation, I'd turn around and just be like, shut up. Leave me alone. Give me a break. I mean, look, all through your Bible, you'll see where Jesus tried to go off into a far place and tried to go rest and tried to get away from the people for a little while and tried to meet with his Father one-on-one. But all the time, multitudes of people were following him. Why do you think that is? Church, it's because he was different. They saw some help. When they saw Jesus, they knew something good was coming. What do people see when they see you? Do they run for the hills? Because they know if they call your name, it's not going to be good? Or do they flock to you because they know there's a safety net in that man in that church? Or there's a safety net in that group of ladies in that church? I can go to that group of ladies and I can find some help. I can go to that group of men and I can talk to them and they'll pray with me. They won't get mad at me for wanting to be around them. Church, listen, that's how we got to reflect Jesus. That's how we have that abundant life. We start applying the fruit of the Spirit to our life. Number three. Well, we got time. I'm going to explain this one, but as we're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to, if you got some examples, just like last week, I enjoyed last week hearing some of your examples. I want you to think of a time when maybe someone made a difference in your life by just showing a little bit of love or showing a little bit of compassion. I'll ask you in a few minutes. Just be thinking. We'll take a few of those and we'll talk about it. Just any time. It doesn't have to be in the church, at home, anywhere, mom, dad, whatever. Think of a time where in your life you needed someone to have compassion on you, and maybe they did. Maybe it was a word of affirmation. Maybe it was a word of encouragement. Maybe it was something they did for you. But be thinking about that, and we'll take some examples here in a few minutes. Number three, he's so passionate, and here's what I love, church. Before I tell you what it is, how many agree that we're in a mess here? This world's a mess. How many, if you're like me, you spend time, you read news articles, and really, let me tell you something, the news ain't going to tell you the good stuff. I told you a few good things. I know. Thank God I know some preachers on Capitol Hill that can give me some insight. Hey, I'm glad we got some Tommy Tubervilles. I don't like Auburn, but I like Tommy Tuberville. I like it that he don't want those military people to go up in ranks if they want to have abortions and want our government to pay for it. Thank God we got a man up there that fears God enough to do that. No one else is. He's the only one in Congress stepping up. And guess what? He's putting a halt on their salaries. Hey, praise the Lord. There are some good things going on. But on a side note, we're in a mess, right? But here's the cool thing. Our advocate's so passionate, he's coming back one day to take us home. He's not going to leave us here. You may die off this earth before the rapture happens, but guess what? You're going to rise first. He's coming back. And by the way, he's going to take us to a home that he's prepared. And when you think about that, you know, when we prepare something with our own hands, there's surely to be something wrong along the way, right? You look, you know, I'm not a builder. I thank God I'm not a builder, and I'm not a painter. There's two things in life I don't do. I don't build. I don't paint. I can take instructions from somebody who can tell me what to do on those things. But those two things, there's just certain things that God didn't give me the ability to do, and those are two of them. I'm an equipment operator, okay? I like to run equipment, and I like to preach. That's what I like to do. It's what I'm decent at. But anything we put our hands to, it don't matter if you're the best equipment operator or the best carpenter or the best painter. I guarantee you, if you pull someone in better than you, they're going to find your fault. Can I say that the home that's being prepared for us is by someone that will not mess it up? That home we have prepared for us in heaven, that's how passionate Jesus is. Not only is he passionate enough to look down and say, man, those are a bunch of wicked, vile sinners, but I'm going to love them and I'm going to die for them. And, you know, not only am I going to love them and die for them, but I'm going to offer them life, and I'm going to offer them life more abundantly. And not only that, I'm going to prepare a place in heaven for them, and I'm going to come back and get them one day. That's a pretty good God, isn't it? That's a pretty good advocate. Look at John chapter number 14. We've got a few more moments here. John chapter number 14. Verse number 1. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe ye in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will, what, church? Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. It's good to know that Jesus is coming back. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. A couple more verses. And then we'll move into maybe some of your personal examples that we talked about there. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verse number 14. The Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many believe that? Say amen. 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 Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are what, church? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying all your loved ones that know the Lord that are in the graveyard, they're not dead. They're asleep. Just be ready, because they're going to rise up. Look at this. This is very exciting. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what, church? Rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. What's the next word? Together with them. That means as soon as they bust out of the grave, they're going to be caught up. And as soon as they're caught up, hey, you better be ready, because if you're saved, you're going with them. And there's nothing you can do about it. Boy, ain't you glad God took care of you. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And here's what he says, church. Comfort one another with these words. Don't worry about the negative in this world. Anytime you start hearing another brother talk negative, take him to the book of 1 Thessalonians and open it up and just say, look, Jesus is coming back. We're supposed to be comforting one another with these words. No one knows when this day will be. You can see that in Matthew 24:36. No one knows when this day will be, although we have a very passionate advocate. Never forget, we serve a just God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Drew? I mean this. Yes, he sent his son Jesus, who is a very passionate Jesus and a very passionate advocate, but he's also a just God. You choose to reject God, and you choose to reject his only begotten son Jesus, whom he chose to willingly die for your sin. Listen, he's still a just God. God doesn't send you to hell. It's not God's will that any should perish. It's your unbelief and your rejection of Christ that's going to send you to hell. Amen? Amen. Now, let's take some examples. Anybody got any examples of a time maybe you were struggling in life and someone just showed the fruit of the Spirit out of their life towards you? Anybody? Let's hear them. There's got to be somebody in here that's happened to before. No one. Amen. Amen. Well, if I had my phone, I'd read you one that just happened to me last night. A preacher friend of mine just wrote me, and it's in paraphrasing, he said, prayer works, but only if we're using it. And he said, praying for you right now, preacher. And I was like, wow, praise the Lord. And this guy, he texts me probably once a week just to let me know that he's praying for me and like when he's praying for me. You know, I said it a couple weeks ago, it's easy to tell someone you're praying for them. Just, oh, I'm praying for you, sister, praying for you, brother. But look, when you hear it that they're praying for you right now and you know that your name is being lifted up to God the Father, that means something. Anyone else? Ever had a time where maybe you needed some words and you needed some encouragement and someone came along and did that for you? Anyone else? If not, we're going to pray. Oh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? It's amazing what the Lord will do when a church gets in praise and unity. Anyone else before we pray? Miss Crystal. Amen. You got time for one more? It's someone else. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for meeting with us. Thank you for allowing us to open up your word. Lord, we know thy word is true. Thank you for those who are here this morning. Thank you, Lord, pray for those who are on their way. Pray for the ones who can't be here today, Lord, that are away on vacation or out doing whatever they're doing today. Lord, keep them safe. Bring them back with us next time. Lord, meet with us in this next hour. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.